Welcome to the new episode of the Enrollment Clinic. It's a pleasure for me to have as a guest on today's episode, Mr. John McLaughlin. He has 15 years of experience building and leading teams at higher education institutions, and currently he is the director of onshore recruitment and strategic affiliation at St. George's University School of Medicine, which is the largest provider of doctors into first year. Great to have you here, John.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be part of the podcast. And congratulations. This has been an excellent podcast. I was a fan before I was a guest.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. It means a lot to me. This would be probably episode number 8. So it hasn't been going on for too long. But that's great. I mean, it's all about trying to provide value, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have a great discussion today.
Yes.
So I have a quick question for you. So onshore recruitment, that's an interesting title. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Sure. Yeah. So I joined St. George's University a little over three years ago. And there was really this unique opportunity to focus on two areas. One was to develop a recruitment and marketing strategy to attract international students who are onshore in the U.S. and Canada. So across North America, those students who are studying at U.S. Institutions and Canadian institutions who are interested in becoming doctors in the U.S., along with our many U.S. students. And then the strategic affiliations part of it is really the pathways and the partnerships that we develop with North American universities, helping students early on to build a pre-med community and have a pathway to medical school. And it's an opportunity to really help us to address the physician shortage and diversify the physician workforce. And so I've been fortunate to work with this great team at SGU for the last 3 years or so. And as you mentioned, we are now the largest provider of doctors into the U.S. healthcare system. And it's just been really an exciting few years.
So let me ask you a quick question. How has COVID affected recruitment, you know, since face-to-face is such a big part of that, you know, recruitment part for doctors?
Sure. So twofold, we had to reimagine how we were recruiting students, like so many of probably your audience members who had to do the same thing. And we did leverage virtual recruitment, webinars, and virtual information sessions. But we had already a fairly robust ambassador program of current students and graduates, and really took that to the next level. And that's something that I strongly encourage your audience members to consider, putting the time and resources into building a really strong ambassador program of current students and graduates. Those students really can share their lived experiences, and it's that authentic voice that prospective students and families really value. And so we began to really take that ambassador program, put across different platforms to reach students globally, which allowed us to continue those relationships that were critical, whether it was in person or not in person. We were able to build on those relationships along with our current students and our graduate students.
And do you use a certain tool or software for the ambassador program? I know there's a few of them around.
Sure. We have looked at some resources out there. There's Graduate, there's Unibuddy. We do not use an external platform. Internally, we have built our own resources, alumni lists, and we have our own plan in place of how we connect prospective students with current students and graduates. So right now it's all in-house, but we have looked at some of those resources, and they are very good resources. I think every institution has to decide if it's the right time, the right fit, you know, they have the resources to support it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, so I'm currently in a smaller size institution. So, you know, my team is really small, and we'd love to be able to kind of have, you know, internal resources to do that. But we've looked at some of the software, we've looked at Unibuddy, we've looked at some of these other things. But yeah, it's definitely a great tool to convert. Now, I want to ask you a little bit about St. George, St. George's University. So, you know, my wife is also in the medical field, and she actually went to UMass Medical. But one of the things that I've noticed through her work is that there are a lot of, you know, people that she works with that have graduated from St. George's. So what makes this such a unique institution and makes it so powerful of a draw in terms of professionals, medical professionals?
Sure. What your audience may not know is that, you know, there is a physician shortage in the U.S. And it's only growing. By 2033, they're projecting around 130,000 doctors that will be needed. And it's not just in the U.S. It's across the globe. Just a few years ago, Germany announced that they were fast tracking internationally licensed doctors to become doctors in Germany. And Canada now has a new pathway for nurses who are internationally licensed to become nurses throughout Canada. And so this is a global issue that has been stressed by the pandemic. And also this is against the backdrop of a competitive medical school landscape. You have US citizens, Canadians, who are qualified students who just can't get into medical school. They're just limited number of seats. And on the international front, US medical schools only enroll about 1% of international students. And so there's a lot of opportunity to create this access for students to be able to become doctors in the United States to address the physician shortage and help diversify our workforce. And so SGU really is on the front line. We have 20,000 graduates who are physicians, over 13,000 who are currently licensed in the United States. And I think what allowed us to stand apart is three areas: our outcomes, our support services, and our alumni network. So I mentioned, and I'll start from the bottom, I mentioned this 20,000 graduate. I mean, this is a vast alumni network that our students are able to leverage. For those who may not be familiar, an international medical school, you are studying in a wonderful international diverse community in Grenada, where SGU's main campus is. We also have a UK campus as well. But you're studying for 2 years of basic sciences, but all your clinical rotations you can do in the United States in our 75 plus hospital network. And our students are taking the United States Medical Licensing Exam, step 1, 2, and 3, alongside U.S. medical school students. And so what we allow is to allow students to broaden, you know, their experience and to broaden their opportunity to connect with more diverse communities, but become still licensed doctors in the United States. And so that vast network our students are leveraging for opportunities for clinical rotations, but also leveraging it as you're applying to residency in the US to become doctors. The support services really stand out for us. We are very focused on knowing who our students are and meeting them where they are. And so we have students that are coming from all types of educational systems throughout the world. About 75% of our students are coming across the US from every different type of college and university you can imagine. We have career changers, men and women who've served in the military or who have served in other areas of healthcare, or have later in life decided that they are interested in medicine and qualify. And so as a result, we design our academic support services, our Department of Educational Services, around individual students, helping them learn how to study and learning how to be successful in medical school. And the resources that we put into those services really separate us, even from US medical schools. And then finally, that outcome, I think more parents and students are interested in this, you know, in this conversation around what are those outcomes? What are the demonstrated successes? And 93% of our graduates over the last 3 years have obtained medical residency. And I think that's really critical. That's why students are going to medical school and become doctors. And that outcome is really important to hold up, and holds up against time. And it's because we have excellent support services, and it's because we have amazing graduates, as your wife is seeing in the workforce, making a difference.
Actually, 93% is 93% residency is huge, because I know how difficult it is to kind of get in the US residency system. So you mentioned the US and Canada as being a big source of students for you. Are there any other countries that are like in the top two or top three areas?
Yeah, so about 25% of our students are international, meaning they're non-US citizens, non-US permanent residents. So outside the US and then Canada, we have students that represent about 48 countries. India is one of our largest markets, South Korea, several countries within the Middle East and in Africa. And so we have a fairly large footprint, and we have recruitment teams that work within about 11 countries. We have a vast agent network as well. We've been fortunate now to have as many international students enrolled at SGU as all US medical schools combined. And so that's really an achievement of you know, this 45-year history of educating international students and helping them find a pathway to become doctors in the US.
Yeah, no, that's great. And so Speaking about other countries, you mentioned India, you mentioned South Korea, some of these areas, some of these countries, and you mentioned, you know, there's obviously 11 teams that you work with. When you go into one of these countries, and when you go into a new country, how do you decide, you know, what is your strategy for going in there in terms of like budget, length of time that you're going to spend there before you decide whether there's a market there or not? Do you have any strategies in place for that?
Sure. Yeah, it's really important to spend time understanding the market and building those relationships, whether it's with agents, with government relations, government officials, and also looking at other educational partners in country, just to begin to have sort of this exploratory stage. What is the demand for doctors, both in the country and outside? Who is studying in the country, both citizens of the country and international students who may be interested in medicine? Looking at opportunities to basically see, are there pathways to become doctors, not only in the US, UK, and other parts of the world? So a lot of homework is done to determine, is this an important market? Is this a market there where there will be growth and where we can support, potentially, you know, the healthcare needs of that country? But it does require time and planning and strategy. And I encourage your audience members to think of agents and educational partners at those institutions as not just the ultimate goal of fulfillment, you know, how are we going to get students, but as part of the planning and strategy process. They know the markets very well. They are on the ground, especially if there are agents that have healthcare experience, and encourage your audience to really leverage that knowledge and that expertise as part of the planning process. Again, often when we're thinking about educational partners that we work with or agents, it's always after we get the strategy running, we're going to get agents and they're going to help us get students. And from day one, part of the planning and the strategy and really the knowledge building about that country, agents and educational partners and government officials really are an important part of those conversations.
That's a great segue into agents. And depending on who you talk to, some schools love working with them, some schools don't. And obviously, it sounds to me like you're a big proponent of agents and agent networks. Now, how do you go about evaluating agents?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been working with agents since, I think the mid 2000s. And I've had really great relationships. And I think that's a key word in this. This is about a partnership and a relationship. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, agents aren't just about fulfillment. They are part of your planning and your strategy. I have found early on that that before you think about country alignment, you have to really consider mission alignment with the agent. Mm-hmm. Is this the right fit? Is there a synergy? And not only from a business standpoint, but also do you enjoy working together? That's really critical. The relationship that's developed, the most fruitful relationships, but also the ones that have been long-term longevity, have been those agents that I've worked with over multiple institutions. And it's because we just enjoy each other's presence. We enjoy breaking bread together. We have great conversations. And we're also very committed to the success of the students. Mm-hmm. And so before you think about country alignment, mission alignment is really, really important. Mm-hmm. Seek input from agents and feedback, again, as part of that planning process, and incorporate agents into your training, into your staff training, into your knowledge building, because agents, again, have this unique experience being often, you know, on the ground in the trenches. I think over time, you also will understand who are those agents that you can rely on, and not just from a number standpoint, but just the honesty and the consistency. And so, early on, I remember the shiny new object, the agent that would say to me, "Oh, John, I can get you 15 new students in 1 year." And now I've matured and learned over time and through experience that agent that could tell me, "John, let's start with one or two students, and the next year, two or three." And then again, it's about each organization getting to know each other, each individual getting to know each other. That to me has been really the strength and where I found the most successful partnerships and relationships.
Mm. And do you, I'm sure you do look at conversion rates with agents, right? Because, you know, specifically when you're working with agents that are in Southeast Asia, some of these big, you know, student markets, right? It just seems to me like the conversion rate is low, right? Sure. But you do get a lot of students, but you get, you know, hundreds of applications that you're going through. Is there some type of a threshold, some type of a cutoff line where you say, okay, below this percentage conversion rate, you know, this is not maybe not a good partnership, or do you even look
at that? with the medical school, you know, we are a niche market and we are looking for students who are qualified and also have the, you know, the financial ability to afford medical school, and also for many of the students who are interested in becoming doctors in the US. And so it is, I think, different than my traditional undergraduate and graduate recruitment that I was doing in previous institutions, where we do really drill down on and with our agents. And this requires a lot of training and a lot of collaboration. We're working very much hand in hand with our agents to really understand who the students are in the market and where they are and how to reach them. And so we're slightly different than maybe some of the undergraduate and graduate programs. But going back to some of my previous work, it wasn't as much thresholds, but it was more around that commitment. How do we continue to work on finding the right student? I found that there were some agents over time, if not only they were not necessarily producing, but it wasn't just the right fit, it was important to sunset them, right, for everyone. However, I didn't think thresholds were necessarily as important as it was the quality of the students. And again, that fits. Were they finding us the right fit in the right market? And that goes back to that mission alignment. So the threshold, I think, was not as important for me over the years. It was more about the student type, and, you know, whether that student would be a successful student in our organization, in our school, and then becoming a successful graduate and a strong spokesperson for the institution, and that sort of effect on the market, that long-term effect on the market, that always really was important in the work that I've done.
Mm. And what are your thoughts on platforms, on recruitment platforms?
Sure. So, you know, over the years I've used... Yeah. I'm sorry?
No, like the .coms, you know, the physicians... I don't know, recruitingphysicians.com or something like that.
Sure. So I think, you know, I have found a sweet spot over the years around both sort of partnerships in country representation and agents. I do think in certain markets, it is a way to complement getting the word out. I found that to be helpful in certain markets in India. But you have to constantly measure it and make sure and manage it. And make sure it's producing what you expect. As to your earlier point, almost, I found that you would find a lot of leads coming through, but you'd have to work very closely with those websites to really narrow down who is the right fit. Yeah, I've had a few partners, Shiksha in India, that were very fruitful, very helpful with undergraduate and graduate recruitment. But far and few between. I think the agents and the in-country representation and the partnerships with education organizations and some of the 2+2 pathways, 3+1, have been much more successful in finding the right fit students.
Mm. All right. So we'll shift gears a little bit. And part of, you know, our job is also to manage staff. And you and I were having a little bit of what I thought was a very interesting conversation before we started this podcast. So one of the things that drive success, you know, when you're managing a team, especially in international student enrollment, is people management. Whether you're managing agents, whether you're managing partners, or you're managing your own staff. What are some of the things that you kind of do internally to build some team cohesion and keep your team focused on the ultimate goal, right? The mission of the team.
Sure. So our leadership is very forward thinking, and employee development really, I think, is at the center of everything we do. And so our HR team has developed values across the organization that we all really can rally around, not only the mission of our university, but also those values, everything from collaboration to accountability to diversity and inclusion. And so it's very clear that we're all there for the same reason, that we really are committed to access and to opportunity for students, and that we all do our part to help raise these values up and support each other. There is a lot of training and support of our team. I think over my 15 years of experience, where I found team members to be frustrated is when they don't have enough training or enough knowledge building. And so often we're asking in higher education for someone to shift in their work or to take on something new. And it's not so much not wanting to take on that work, but it's really about supporting them in the training and the knowledge building they need to be successful, to help the students, for them to be successful in it as well. But we have a, again, this is the leadership of our marketing enrollment team, came up with this idea of the easy button. It's on everyone's desk. And really, it's an opportunity for us to visually, to have this sort of tangible, hitting of the easy button when we are successful at making something more streamlined or more efficient for our students, to remove their pain points for them, but also removing pain points for your fellow colleagues. And so how are we constantly trying to think about making ourselves a better organization and better people and to serve our students better? And so this easy button sits on all our desks, and throughout the day, we hear it go off. And it's a really way to celebrate each other's successes, but also we're a team that recognizes that we have personal lives and we're here for each other during difficult times. And it's really brought a strong sense of cohesion between across the organization. But collaboration, accountability are really centers of who we are as an organization. And that easy button really brings it to life.
That's awesome. That's, I'm probably going to steal that idea, but I'm going to give you credit for it.
That's it.
This is fantastic. In terms of, since we're on staff and recruitment, how do you, when you are evaluating new admission personnel, right? Are there certain guidelines? Like, how do you make sure you're picking the right new employees that will fit your team's mission?
Sure. I've been fortunate to be involved with hiring for a good part of my career. And I think some of the best people that I've either hired or worked with are at SGU, at St. George's University. It's not just about fit. And I know that people often hear about finding the right fit. It's also about individuals that help to make the organization better. They help to challenge us, maybe even get us out of our comfort zone, who can bring experience, whether it's in international education, in recruitment, in education, but also diverse perspectives. We want our staff to represent the diverse students that we have and one day represent the diverse physicians of the United States. And so that's really important that there's an opportunity to bring individuals into the organization that are really representative of different experiences and can bring that voice, this empowered voice to the work day every single day. And so that's been really critical. We have found that particularly around international on the onshore side, one of my colleagues came from study abroad and she didn't have direct recruitment experience, but she was phenomenal in really the appreciation of different students' experiences and having very nurturing conversations with students. And so we have found some colleagues who have, mental health backgrounds, mm-hmm. Mental counseling backgrounds, those who really know how to build genuine relationships, know how to nurture students through a journey like an enrollment or becoming a doctor. Those have been very important for us. And so we haven't sort of followed this, maybe someone who has 20, 30 years of, recruitment experience, but looking at people from different parts of higher ed and also different parts of enrollment management, of counseling, advising, to be able to strengthen our team. And I can't stress enough that hiring for fit, although you want someone who really understands the culture and can appreciate that, but can really add to it, mm-hmm. is going to be much more valuable to the organization and to each of your employees when you bring that type of energy to the team.
Yeah, and we can talk about this all day, and this is actually an interesting topic for me right now at this moment. I have one last question for you, specifically related to this area. Given that the university is in a unique geographical location, is the entire team on site, or now with COVID, do you have remote work, and how do you best manage that?
Sure. So we are an international medical school with a full campus in Grenada. Mm-hmm. So we have faculty and staff down there supporting our students. We have some teaching locations in India and the UK, so we have staff and faculty there as well. We have an administrative arm, operations out of New York. So it is diverse. And then we have regional team members all around the globe. We have an office in Dubai as well. And so it's a very global team, and we stay connected. We really do leverage Zoom and Microsoft Teams. We do have team building sessions, both regular meetings, but also opportunities for us to develop leadership skills and to connect, celebrate the holidays together. Both virtually and in person. And so the organization does a really good job at in trying to bring the team together, even though we are across the globe. I think all of us felt the pressure throughout higher education of this sort of remote world when we were all dealing with students, and now everything was online, events, classroom instruction, the entire experience. For pre-med students, they were virtually shadowing doctors, and for clinical students for some time they were doing it virtually, and it was a difficult time for many folks, but one where we learned a lot from it and took the best of it to incorporate into our learning instruction, to incorporate through how we lead our teams and how we manage our staff. I think the intentional ways to connect teams are really important. We shouldn't think about it as organic. And it really takes the leadership to build that intentionality. Again, whether it's around festivals and events, whether it's team meetings, we have monthly team meetings for the whole marketing and enrollment team. We bring over 140, 50 people globally around together. And it's wonderful to, again, hear updates from around the globe, from our teammates, to share successes, to talk about new developments. It really motivates the team and connects us all. And again, it's a monthly thing, but it really has a lot of meaning. So that's just another meeting, but it really does bring the team together.
Awesome. Thank you. I feel like we should probably do another episode just on managing a global team, managing and recruiting a global team. If you're up for it, I'd love to have you over for
sure, part two. I always welcome it.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, John. It was a pleasure to have you here. This is a wealth of information. I can't wait to just share this. And it's been a huge learning experience for me as well. So thank you so much for your contribution and for your help.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be part of it, and have a great week.